March 9th, 2005, Wednesday, and House Committee on Trade and Economic Development will come to order. We are going into right into the work session.
Mr. Chairman, before you do that, I wanted to just talk about three items that I'm going to distribute to the committee. First has to do with our trip to the Dalles. This is an explanation. I don't know exactly where this comes from, but it says, why not Google, why not the Dalles? So it has to do with Google's locating in the Dalles. A second package of documents comes from the Community Colleges and Workforce Development Department on WorkSource Oregon. You had that presentation a week or so ago. And the third item has to do with the Port Revolving Loan Fund and some other questions that were asked when Mr. Fox and the Oregon Economic Community Development Department were here last time. So I'll be distributing those while you get started.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Okay, as that the attempt is distributing some information, I'd like to have a work session, House Bill 2234. We have a motion from the Representative Nelson and -1 amendment. And Representative Nelson, can you explain what we are planning to do?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. In my opinion, House Bill 2234 is one of the most significant bills that we can pass in this legislature as relative to actually producing jobs, drawing industry, and enhancing numerous parts of our state that are hurting desperately for new jobs. As has been the report of those who have successfully launched electronic commerce designations, we find tremendous success. We also find the increasing need across our state to produce jobs. It is apparent to me that in this legislature that it doesn't appear that we will be moving quickly to logging, which was the most immediate potential for jobs and jobs now. It's apparent that ODOT is not going to expedite the shovel-ready projects to employ numerous individuals who need jobs. And so I have proposed the First Amendment to this bill that would make these electronic commerce designations unlimited. The reason being is that every group who applies for this designation is evaluated extremely well by the department, and because those are allowed to prepare proposals does not mean they all will be accepted, as we know previously from the 14 who presented proposals, of which only 4 were chosen in this most recent designation. The Economic Development Department has reiterated that an e-commerce designation does create payroll and property value that would not otherwise be there within any sort of comparable time frame. I don't think that we can expect this enterprise zone to operate any differently than other tax incentives that are given to other various types of business. It's my hope that every one of our areas would benefit, who are hurting for jobs, would benefit from an opportunity to be an e-designated entity. And that is why I move Amendment 1.
All right. Any discussions on the -1 amendment?
Chair.
Vice Chair Brune.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson, if I can ask you, is it your interpretation of this Dash 1 amendment that I read that it's unlimited, but is your interpretation, or maybe I'd ask anybody to speak on this, that it still falls within the overall limit imposed on the wider enterprise zones, i.e. 49 enterprise zones are currently at this time allotted by the state. Is this constrained by that, or can we go past the 49 larger enterprise zones with e-commerce zones? I don't know if that might be a question for OECDD or us.
I believe it is a question for them.
For OECDD, okay, thank you.
Okay, could you come on that give us the clarification on the issue?
Good morning, Chairman Lin, members of the committee. My name is Ron Fox. I'm the manager of the Business Development Division for the Oregon Economic Community Development Department. I'm going to answer a quick response, and then I'll ask Art Fish to expand on it. But the current statute provides for the 49 enterprise zones as a special condition within that statute allowing the 49. We have been granted the authority to issue four e-commerce enterprise zone designations. So I think the current statute sets it at 49 as a subset of the four within the subset of the 49. But I'll let Art expand. He's more familiar with the specifications.
Hello again. Thank you again for allowing us to address the committee. My name is Arthur Fish, Business Incentives Coordinator with the Oregon Economic Community Development Department. Chair Lim, Representative Nelson, members of the committee. The Amendment Dash 1 to House Bill 2234 changes a particular subsection of that section, and the first subsection 1 of the statute, ORS 285C.095, begins, a sponsor of an existing enterprise zone may seek to have the zone designated for electronic commerce under the section. So in effect, you just got to be an enterprise zone, to do this. So, whatever number of enterprise zones we have, which is 49, would be the effective limit.
Okay.
May I follow up?
Yes, follow up.
A quick follow up. If we were to change the broader enterprise zone interpretation in the state, i.e., if we were to move that current number from 49 to some higher number, this amendment would follow suit.
Chair Lim, Vice Chair, Representative Broom, members of the committee, that's true. I mean, the way this is written, it would just, unless we had something that changed what an existing enterprise zone meant or something like that. But if we had more of them, and we could have potentially more because of reservation enterprise zones or a federal designation. If the law really actually only limits us to 47 plus those little special situations in a reservation or federal enterprise zone. So that's how we got to 49 in the first place.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have had some conversations in my office with these folks, and I've come to the conclusion that because of the limit of staff, and if we open this up to unlimited, I think we have to augment Mr. Fish with some more help, and I believe that I'm going to be supporting Amendment 2 and moving it to 20 zones, which apparently would satisfy us for quite some time and not cause a bureaucratic problem.
So what's the Amendment 2? Is that 15 or 20?
20.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Vice Chair Mokley?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Do you have a sense of the anticipated difference in cost to the general fund between the two proposals?
Fiscal impact between 10 and 20.
Okay. Chair Lim, members of the committee, Representative Merkley, are you talking about the difference between, say, the Dash 1 and the bill as is, or Dash 1 and Dash 2?
Between the Dash 1 and the Dash 2.
And by fiscal, you mean, the effect on our staffing, or more the effect on taxes and revenue?
Both.
Yeah, well, You know, I mean, between the dash one, dash two, yeah, I mean, dash one would mean more work for us, you know, but, you know, there's, you know, we could probably deal with, you know, designating more of these, and but it would be, you know, it would be kind of tricky. The revenue impact is another question. It's mainly related to income taxes and the question of the tax credit and you know, how much it would be used. You know, I mean, it wasn't, you can go back to the revenue impacts that were originally done in 2001 and see that, you know, to some degree they overstated, you know, what initially happened. But down the road, there would be definitely tax credits used. And then the question is, are we, you know, taking from the general fund, or are we, you know, in hope for, you know, doing something good for the economy that, it, you know, contributes to it over time, if not right away?
Chairman and members of the committee, I'd just like to expand slightly on arts. I think it's important to keep in mind that we are currently the sort of statutory administrative support for the existing 49 enterprise zones. So we have that relationship in place, and our staff does that. There's requirements and changes and so on that go on within those zones on a regular basis. So administering additional e-commerce zones would be additional work in the initial establishment of those zones and the process by which they do that. But I think it was probably a greater question as to at what pace would those be applied for and granted in the administrative process. So it's whether it's additional zones over a period of 2 years that are granted, or whether they all want to be in the first 30 days after the any amendment to the law was in place.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative that the
Buckley.
Buckley,
what's your name? Absolutely. Thank you very much. I have a couple questions, if that's all right. Mr. Fox, just to confirm your last statement, you do not anticipate needing to hire additional personnel in order to handle additional e-commerce zones?
Chairman Lim, members of the committee, we've not done a staff resource analysis to process, you know, what would be 45 e-commerce zone applications. But I think given time, we have staff that we can apply to this. It's mostly an initial solicitation for application for those zones, review of those zones, and then an approval by our commission for granting those zones, and then the subsequent requirements for implementing that zone. So I guess I'm willing to say that we can do this if we're given some latitude, that we're not being required to put all 45, if you were to take the limit off, within the first 30 days that the statute becomes available.
Mr. Chairman, if I'm confirm that there's nothing in the amendment that would require a timeline that would sit. Thank you. And, one additional question, Mr. Chairman.
Additional questions.
Perhaps to our great committee administrator. There was discussion previously about the original sponsors of e-commerce zones and input from them in terms of expanding the number. Have the original authors of the bill been contacted, or has there been any additional information presented?
Okay. Do we have any?
I generated some additional information which I can make available to the committee. I think the chair of the committee had that information. Did you bring that with you? Because we could make it available on the 2001 original bill.
Original bill? Are you talking about original bill or new information?
The good senator came to our last work session and requested that we delay in order to get feedback from the original intent of the legislation. I'm just wondering if any additional feedback has been sent to us.
Yeah. This thing?
It'll say 2001.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I might also mention that we do have a revenue impact analysis of the original bill. I think the members have that from last time. There are some assumptions made about how long it would take to get the program in existence, and according to the economists at the Revenue Office, the initial impact year would be fiscal year 07-08. So it would take a while for the revenue impact to take place. Ordinarily, on these sorts of bills that have a subsequent referral to Revenue or Ways and Means, they don't issue a revenue impact statement because it's going to be in the Revenue Committee anyway. So we did not, and we just got these amendments back yesterday, so we have not asked for a fiscal and revenue impact on them. We can certainly do that if it is the will of the chair.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If I might, I just got here from another meeting. Mike Salzgiver with OECDD. If it pleases the chair, Representative Buckley, yesterday afternoon I did have a discussion with Senator Deckert, and he has had conversations with Mr. Berkman and with Mr. Hill, and so the concerns that he had have been addressed. And we have given him our assurance that renewed and vigor around ongoing communication will be the watchword in the future.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, this is information that we obtained on the a staff summary and the actual legislation that created electronic commerce enterprise zones in the 2001 session. I can provide this to Representative Buckley, or I can get copies for all the members as part of your deliberation, whichever you would like.
If you want to do it now or later?
Yes, we could do it now.
Why do it now?
Sorry.
I didn't even know what.
It was
great.
It was yours.
Got me through the
prayers
of opinion.
Yes. Mike Salzberg.
When I worked on the last session, Marty asked me to review the opinion.
Okay, what's the need about the 5-10 minutes until we get that?
Then you wouldn't have any taxes because they wouldn't exist. I think this is the biggest issue.
Yes. That we had not consulted the original people that were originally involved in constructing the development of the zone concept.
Well,
those conversations.
Did they have a bill for change of days?
They didn't have a particular view on either. I think expanding them was a good idea. They didn't have a particular view on the statewide.
Temporary.
Even though we expect an unlimited, this goes only so far 49. Because it's got to be in the
it's a good question. I think then the key would be what are the criteria that we're setting up and reviewing them and approving them. And does the legislature want to establish some criteria for sponsor, or do you want to just pull it up and have it be a generally designated e-zone for e-commerce everywhere?
Special nature of a particular
say someone in the valley that
if you do it slow, it's the whole of Oregon. Well, I mean, if you open up the environment,
this
I'm the chair of Google.
My point is, you may be gaining 75% of something you didn't have.
There were a whole bunch of
facts. No problem.
And he's only one of them. He assumed it wasn't.
I know it.
Mr. Chairman, if I might ask a question while we're waiting for the copies to come.
Yes, of course.
I do have one question for the panel.
Mr. Dunlap has a question.
We started with four E-zones, and those are filled. And the notion was to direct investment and development to targeted areas with the first four. Was there ever a time that being an E-zone was the single reason for a company to exercise the option to locate because of E-zones?
Chairman Lynn, Representative Dallum, recalling from my memory, I think that Dell Computer, in choosing to open their customer sales and service facility in Roseburg, indicated that the access to the e-commerce zone provision of the enterprise zone for that area was an instrumental aspect of their decision to open that facility in Roseburg. Just as some background, that was a competitive project. The Oregon communities competed against communities in other states for that customer service facility. So in that one example, I believe the access to the e-commerce zone provisions was instrumental in that particular project. Maybe I haven't, if I've answered the question.
Is it though, and I'm digging here a little bit, and I'll tell you what I'm trying to go, is I want to present every community with as many advantages as it can have. I'm somewhat familiar, and in fact, probably a little more familiar than I'd like to be with Google, and their conversation, we didn't have an E-zone. We didn't have one. If we'd have had one, it doesn't matter. We got them anyway. So I'm looking at a community that is situated with their natural location, their infrastructure development, availability of fiber optics. Can we hand everybody in Oregon an opportunity to land it's wonderful for a community. Is this just one of many reasons? And should we deny anybody an arrow in their quiver for landing a business? And if where I'm going with this is, why would we want to limit if this isn't the single reason that they locate in a spot?
Yes. Chairman Lim, members of the committee, and Representative Dallum, the fundamental concept behind the creation of the enterprise zones is to focus on communities that are exposed to or are facing economic distress. So that's one of the criteria for being designated as an enterprise zone. That's sort of the underlying format for this particular business incentive. I think the work that was undertaken by the Internet Commission, which I believe was in the was formed in the 1999 session and actually completed its work in the period between 99 and 2001. One of their recommendations coming out of the Internet Commission was the creation of a special business incentive that was oriented specifically to companies for whom their a central component of their business proposition was transacting business over the Internet. That sets a little bit of the background stage. I guess speaking from 1999 until to the 6 years, we have progressed in our global economy to the point that the Internet is almost the accepted aspect of business. So I think in answer to your question, for a community to pursue those kind of businesses, having the e-commerce zone option available to them to do so would obviously be a very important consideration, and it would thereby influence a business decision. Businesses are always interested in getting the best bottom line cost consideration that they can in choosing a location for either an expansion or for a new facility location.
So going back to my original question, why, when a community goes out to compete for a business, they have a host of factors that they can offer. Some, none others, location, sunshine, on the river, fiber optics, beautiful place to locate. Everybody ought to. But why would I want to not give this arrow to every community in Oregon that I could?
If I might, Chair Lynn, Representative Dallum, Mike Salzgiver with OECDD again. Ultimately, I think that's a policy decision that the legislature decides, and the policy direction we had before was targeted to provide assistance to distressed communities during times of economic stress. I think as a general rule, the policy of the state of Oregon is to proliferate e-commerce where it can. If you look at the Oregon Telecommunications Council, their guidance is to proliferate that technology, that ability. Certainly from the business community, Mr. Fox is absolutely correct. I mean, my former boss, Andy Grove, used to say that if you're not on the Internet and doing business on the Internet in 5 years, you're not going to be in business. That's generally borne out. And what we've seen is a morphing of how businesses do business. There's a combination of bricks and mortar and Internet and e-commerce work. But for the most part, the policy decision really is the legislature's. The governor's budget, as reflected in this bill, the governor has recommended that we take a phased expansion of that. There may be revenue implications, there may not, but that was the governor's proposal, which was the thinking behind this bill, is to take a phased expansion of that effort and move forward. If in the legislature's determination, the state is in a position to implement that as a broad-reaching, fully proliferated tool for economic development, that would be a policy decision for the legislature, I think, to make.
Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Merkley.
So I think the evolution that's occurring here then, and I'm saying this so that you all can guide me or correct me or re-steer us if this is not right, is that when this was first envisioned, there was a sense that there was something very new, very cutting-edge, very attractive about focusing on the Internet component of corporations. And therefore, there was a small subset of corporations that might be eligible for this. But that as time has passed and almost all companies are now utilizing the Internet as a significant marketing means, almost all companies would be eligible for this particular subsidy. And if that's the case, and I'm laying this out to make sure I understand this, if that's the case, and essentially what we're saying is we are increasing the sense of enterprise zone from that of a property tax deduction to a property tax deduction plus a very significant income tax write-off for a five-year period, but that most any company that would go to one of these e-commerce zones would be eligible for that. Am I catching the sense of this correctly?
Chair Lim, Representative Merkley, I think you've generally caught it right. Ultimately, again, when the legislature considers what tools to use to incent businesses to locate, to stay here, to locate here, or to expand here, this is one way to incent them if e-commerce is an important component of their activity. So I guess to the extent that we're moving to a business model in which e-commerce is embedding itself as a standard way of doing business, it becomes there's a different way to look at it, and the revenue implications of continuing as an incentive versus as a way of embedded way of business have to be evaluated. Right now, I would suggest, and I'm talking from the top of my head now, I'm not an economist, but coming from the business sector, my sense is that the recovery in Oregon is still tenuous enough, and there are still areas of the state that are distressed enough that targeted incentives make sense at this point. And over time, our hope would be to position the entire state to be in a position that's our mission. One of our missions at the department is to create a positive business climate for Oregon. And so ultimately, that would be the goal, is to create a climate where ultimately that is an embedded way of business. Right now, I don't think we're quite there yet.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Nelson.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the Economic Department. Appreciate your input. I think we have to say that, you know, what occurred in Medford was absolutely remarkable. My community deserves that same opportunity. We have to also realize, and so I can't even really understand why we're even having to debate this, is because, you know, any upfront credits for property taxes is taken care of. I mean, we recoup those within, you know, 10 years. So, I mean, we wouldn't even have the jobs, we wouldn't have the business, we wouldn't have the property taxes to begin with unless we would make this designation. So, and then to know that most of those employed in this type of business make 150% of the current county wage, I think is incredible, and that full-time employment must increase by 10% for these enterprises to be eligible. So it's a win-win. It's a win for the community. It's a win for the state. It's a win for the schools. I mean, it's a win all the way around, and I just don't think we have to, you know, go back to economic development for dummies to, you know, to tear this apart. I think it was excellent. I wasn't a part of the original concept, but did push for any opportunity for economic development. This one meets our time. We're here. I think it's one time that other states want to emulate us. Much better they emulate us in this way than some of the other top or first that we have.
Right. Any more of these questions?
Not. I have a couple of questions. Jim, are you going to
I just wanted to explain a little bit about what we handed out, and this was an attempt to put together some background information. It describes the it summarizes the original bill, the 2001 bill, which was Senate Bill 229.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were some amendments made in the 2003 session that, so this description doesn't exactly match what there is in the current law. The reason I got it, for the most part, was for the background information that describes the Oregon Internet Commission's work from the year 2000 and how they came to the conclusion that electronic commerce zone was a good idea for the legislature to consider. I apologize for the next two pages, which are evidently an amendment that we erroneously attached to this. So that's the background on the original electronic commerce within enterprise zone legislation.
Okay, thank you. Right, my question is, how many electronic commerce will expect to apply this coming 2 years? Since the governor asked for 6 more, which is total 10 at this time, and we are talking about at this moment unlimited. Unlimited doesn't mean unlimited. It is up to the within the enterprise zone, so it should be less than 50 anyway. And what's the point asking for just 10 at this time? And also, how many applications that we expect to get this coming 2 years?
Chair Lim, members of the committee, we handed out at the public hearing a sort of brief informal poll, which indicated, not with any great surprise for us, that about 16 or so enterprise zones were very eager to apply for any opportunity, and I would bet at least a dozen of those are a given. So if, we weren't basing the additional 6 on what we, on trying to satisfy everyone, we were basing it on a conservative proposal that, could engender, the type of discussion we're seeing now. But, it would essentially allow for us to have some more, to open up more opportunities, to allow areas that, might be able to take advantage of this greater leeway. But if I were to guess whether we had 6 more or 14 more or 16 more, that we would probably see somewhere in the neighborhood of, 10 to 25 applicants.
In this coming 2 years.
Yeah.
Other than this already full.
Yeah. Yeah,
Okay, and when out of this many applications, do you pick and choose, or if it's allowed, unlimited, are you mostly giving to everyone asking for, or do they have to meet a certain criteria?
Chair Lim, members of the committee, if there was an unlimited number, the language I see in the bill or in the statutes, the bill and the -1 amendments, the word is shall. The department shall designate. And so I think, beyond certain criteria of, giving us enough paperwork, if you will, or showing us enough information about the readiness of the area to use e-commerce, we would then be obliged to designate anyone who gave us such a decent application. And, their local government, cities and counties, would have to adopt resolutions and so forth. Beyond that, it wouldn't be that much discretion or picking. Now, obviously, if there's a limited number and we get more applications than that, then we have to draw a line. And, from past experience, those that shine forth do shine forth. It's not like we're, having to make too hard a decision, really. It's just unfortunate that not everyone who really wants one can get one, but those that are most ready do will show forth.
All right. Any other discussions? If not, we will have a roll call on this one. And so anyone that we like to adopt -1 amendment, say aye. Those are not supporting it, nay. Please call the roll call.
Representative Bruin.
Aye.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Down.
Aye.
Representative Merkley.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Chair Lim.
Aye.
That's one adopted, and then we need to move to the revenue committee, and
Do we have a motion?
I have ready for a motion if you want to choose somebody who would like to make
There's some advantages of being the only woman on this committee. Thank you, Chair Lim, for allowing me to do this. I move House Bill 2234 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Okay, Representative Nelson moved House Bill 2234 with a two pass recommendation with this amendment and to the Revenue Committee. Did I say correct?
Good job.
Thank you. And so, roll call again. Do we need a roll call for this? Yes.
Representative
Cussley.
Aye.
Representative Dallin.
Aye.
Representative
Merkley. Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Representative Bruner.
Aye.
Chair Lynn.
Aye.
So,
this
is moved. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Could I just say this is a great day for Oregon. And talk about equal opportunity. This is it. This is one for everybody. And I'm so grateful for all your effort and for bringing this bill forward, and I thank all the men on this committee and economic development for pushing it.
Okay, and I was going to move the 20. Apparently, you convinced each member of the committee, and I believe this is a democratic way with the business, and I want you to know this is always open business, and we'll move our committee in a fair manner. It is not winning someone else, it is a winning for the state.
That's right.
All right, with that, we close the work session on House Bill 2234.
Right.
If there is no further business, meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
What's up, Don?
There.